Speaking today with Rick Noriega, candidate for U.S. Senate in Texas. Rick, I guess I want to start off by asking you about Hurricane Ike. I've been talking to some other candidates about that lately, since obviously that's been the big story in Texas of late. You were deployed by the National Guard to help out with Ike recovery. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What exactly were you doing and where were you?
Well, I was in Camp Mabry in Austin, Texas, in the Emergency Operations Center for the 36th Infantry Division, working in the operations cell. We were the force providers for search and rescue missions, for working the pods, for shelter operations, traffic control, all those kinds of things. And So I flew into Galveston and for reconnaissance purposes on occasion, and we were involved in making sure that the 3,000 men and women of the Texas military forces that were deployed from all over the state, which did a phenomenal job, were resourced, put where the state wanted them to be. And supported all civilian operations, across the Gulf Coast.
Now, of course, you were heavily involved in the relief effort for Katrina here in 2005. You ran the evacuee shelter at the George R. Brown. How was this similar, and how was this different?
Well, it's similar from the standpoint that I think Texas and the Texas spirit is just phenomenal. When people pull together for the common good and help their neighbors out and do whatever it takes without asking anything in return, whether it's baking a pie or helping cut limbs, but helping neighbors out in need. I think that's what's the commonality that just makes me proud to be a Houstonian and a Texan, is to see that Texas can-do spirit, which motivates me in the policy side of things, that we need the leadership to move that spirit into other areas, be it energy policy, education, immigration, healthcare reform, this economy crisis. The things that were different are frankly, we're getting better. We're getting better in a lot of ways. Clearly, I think that a lot of the bureaucratic red tape of FEMA and them not still being adequately efficient, needs to be improved. That's why I'm looking forward to going to Washington too. One of the things that the state did with a lot of leadership in the Texas military forces is required us to go through the variety of training for disaster relief and so forth, which is a good thing, and there's been a lot more community involvement in that process. I just think that, and we'll see this play out in the coming weeks, the red tape, the bureaucratic hassles that people have with getting the support they need at the federal government level, that has to be improved. I think that at the local level, we certainly have gotten much, much better and continue to improve in exercising these disaster relief plans, all hazards, plans that we have now at the state level. And so those are the two contrasts, two things that I see. One, the way we respond is the same, and how we can do better at the federal level as we move forward, because this won't be the last one.
Well, can you talk a little bit more about what the federal government should be doing to improve in both preparation for and response to this kind of natural disaster?
Well, I think that they have to be able to uncoil their resource and resource management much quicker. Their time response has to be better. The bureaucratic red tape of families getting help through the state government has to be more efficient. And I just think that they can continue to improve, just like the state has continued to improve. The federal government certainly can too. And I just think that, I mean, we're still reeling. I mean, there are still folks left out in the cold, so to speak, as a result of Katrina and Rita, that still haven't closed the loop with the benefits or things that they should have received from the federal government. So that can certainly improve.
Now, of course, earlier in the year, South Texas was hit by, I believe, by a different hurricane. Now, one of the things that I have been reading lately is that there are concerns that the levees along the Rio Grande River would not be able to handle a storm surge, much like what was the case in New Orleans with Katrina. There are also concerns that the proposed border fence would exacerbate this situation. Can you speak to that a little?
You're absolutely right. For the last, the other two hurricanes that we dispatched soldiers for, at that time, the battalion that I commanded, in each instance, I think we sent out close to 100 citizen soldiers to be in preparation for relief efforts in South Texas. And it speaks to, our priorities. And it speaks to, the politics of priorities, too, in that the folks from the Valley have had a report in hand in excess, about 10 years, showing that the levees were inadequate. They could not withstand levels of water that, a Cat 2, 3, or 4, that would, if it were to hit that region of our state, would cause enormous physical damage, if not, loss of life, based on what we witnessed after Katrina. And so that has been something that is just, there has not been the will in Washington, D.C. to do anything about it. And so when you see these political issues come up for purposes of both pandering, I think, to extreme elements of the state or country versus good public policy, i.e., this wall, which is a political hoax that will not work, which the junior senator of the state voted for on three occasions after he told the people of South Texas he would vote against it. And now, even the construction of that wall, which will not work, is in jeopardy for lack of funding. When all the time we should have been more focused on the levee system. And in some instances, there's been discussion of trying to combine the concepts of a levee wall system, etc. But you at some point, what time of the year do you do that? And then you then put people at risk because you have interfered with the levee itself through that construction process, and those kinds of questions should have been thought through first and foremost. And I think that just the cost of these efforts, taxpayers are just tired of these silly gimmicks that won't work and probably go into no-bid contract firms that support particular political agendas and the like. And so I think, by and large, taxpayers are just sick and tired of all this nonsense.
It seems like lately, while everyone is talking about immigration and immigration reform, there hasn't been any progress made on it in the Congress. The main thing that we see nowadays is more raids by ICE on places like that, that plant in Iowa where they rounded up a bunch of people. Where do we stand on this? And, is the current focus on, raiding places and also even, arresting the employers? Where is that getting us?
Well, I mean, clearly the immigration, our immigration system is broken. We've laid out a very comprehensive vision and plan of what we need to do to get this back on track as a matter of policy. Clearly, we have to have border security. I mean, I know firsthand, having served on the border with Border Patrol, commanding close to 300 men and women in uniform, that we have a very real threat based on criminal activity that attempts to either traffic drugs, traffic human beings, and the like. And in large part, that has been the result of the federal government shirking its responsibility and laying that, and then punting that responsibility to local and state law enforcement, not having enough law enforcement on the border to combat these activities. At the same time, as I mentioned before, we don't need political hoaxes like this wall, which in addition is about seizing private property from Texans, much like the Trans-Texas Corridor. Same idea, through eminent domain, seizing families' land that have been in their families for generations. We recognize that we do need workers here as the baby boomers leave the workplace, both blue-collar and white-collar workers, but we have to have a process that, you know, we know who they are, where they are, what they're doing, that's enforceable. We also recognize that we have to have a way that people can come, move out of the shadows that are here. That if they have to pay taxes or pay a fine or learn English, whatever requirements we place, that we allow people to come forward out of the shadows to quit having this fantasy, as my opponent has proposed, that you'd have some type of touchback provision, that you'd, I don't know if you'd put them on boxcars or trains or whatever and ship them back somewhere, which I think that Senator McCain has described it as report to deport process, which is just unthinkable. So we have to have a way to bring people out of the shadows so they can fix their situation here in this country. Lastly, I think that we have to have a very strong, enforceable way to go after illegal employers that deliberately look to lure people into this country for the purposes of suppressing wages and then exploiting them or mistreating them. I think we ought to tell the countries of this hemisphere, y'all need to step up to the plate and start taking care of, you know, some of the folks in your own country too, and there are ways to do that. But I fundamentally believe that there are those in this country that want it both ways. They want to continue to have cheap labor that suppresses wages in this country, and at the same time they want to have a political issue that is emotional, that is deliberately used to invoke intolerance and fear, that separates us as Texans and as Americans, and I think that's immoral. So we do need a fix. It's ironic. Where are the raids today in Houston or Harris County in front of the Home Depots when people are looking for people to clean up their brush and cut trees and clear debris and everything else? Where are they now? I think they're hypocritical about on this issue. I'm not condoning, and folks that may be out in day labor areas may be citizens, but I just find it ironic.
Okay. As we speak today, the Senate is preparing to take up the so-called Wall Street bailout bill that the House did not pass earlier this week. What's your take on this? What if anything do you want to see them do?
Well, number one is clearly something has to be done. We watched the last couple of days the markets respond. We watched the markets respond, and if something isn't done, small businesses and families and their retirements, their homes, the 401ks, etc., could be in jeopardy. And I think people recognize that. I think what we see in terms of the Texans and the American public is just the outrage of being painted into a corner or having a gun held to their head with this whole circumstance. And I think it does speak to fiscal policy that has influenced our monetary policy, and that there needs to be some accountability. I believe we've got to have, this is the opportune time to make sure that we have very tough and strong accountability measures throughout, because Wall Street wants the money, and the total focus needs to be on average Texas families and on Texas families of keeping their home and securing their retirement for the future. That needs to be the impetus. That needs to be the focus of anything that occurs. And I think that because we have this enormous violation of trust, both domestically in terms of our government and now internationally in terms of world banks and world leaders saying, well, we can't trust what the Americans say they have on their books, that we have now jeopardized our credibility in that environment too, that we need to have some ability for prosecution. We need to make sure that we hold people accountable that got us into this mess, because I think that's how we're going to have to regain trust. And so the Senate has a bill forward today. There are a lot of different things, and this process obviously is extremely fluid. What is presented this evening and voted on is probably not anything that we have heard this morning, in fact. I think that there are some other ideas that have been introduced that are good ideas. The increase of the FDIC insurance on deposits, I think that it goes a long way to helping small business people to make sure that their money is secure. I think that some incentives dealing with renewable energy that have been discussed this morning as incentives to stimulate the economy as well are some good ideas. I think that what the House had needed work on the House version, primarily on judicial discretion on bankruptcy and on bankruptcy hearings, needed to be put in there. But again, what is actually voted on this evening is probably nothing has, we haven't seen anything yet in black and white, so we just don't know yet. We have a crisis, something needs to be done. The Americans are right to be outraged. I believe there needs to be accountability, and there needs to be some folks held responsible, to include our junior senator that has been there for 6 years, and the fox watching the hen house. So at any rate, here again is just another example of malfeasance, mismanagement, needing to change. We have to have an overhaul change to regain public trust and confidence as good stewards of their trust in the area of governance.
Okay. There seems to be more or less a consensus these days about, getting out of Iraq in some fashion. But the focus is now kind of shifting back towards Afghanistan, where there's been a lot more violence, it's a lot more deadly to U.S. troops. Can you speak a little to that?
I do believe that we have consistently been told by our government that we were guests in Iraq. Our hosts are now asking us to leave. I think we ought to be respectful of that and use this as an opportunity to negotiate our quick and safe withdrawal of our soldiers. And at the same time, I do believe that we've got to, we do need some, we do need additional soldiers in Afghanistan to deal with the resurgence or the reemerging of both Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. But I fundamentally think that with a change in leadership, both in the executive branch and in the Senate too, that we have to get back to building our international credibility, that this is a multinational effort to deal with Al-Qaeda, its command and control, to include Pakistan, to include China, to include a whole lot of folks in the region, to once and for all deal with those that slam the planes into the buildings, which we have never done as a result of our complete mismanagement in foreign policy. It can be argued that Al-Qaeda is now more lethal and more powerful prior to 9/11 because of the way we've mishandled this entire affair. So I fundamentally think that we should have had more troops in Afghanistan at the outset, and we could have killed the snake when we had the hoe in the hand, and we didn't. And now, as was mentioned in the 9/11 report, Pakistan is on the brink of, or our allies, of being in an unstable situation, which is real important to us. They have nuclear weapons. We need to make sure that the region is more stable. Afghanistan's enemies have never been, or traditionally have not been, from outside its borders. It's been inside its borders. Its neighboring countries understand that it's not a place that you want to be there for a long, long time, dating back to Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, the Brits, the Russians, everyone. People understand that. There are influences that like to meddle in Afghan business, affairs, and politics, as has Al-Qaeda, and of course, with our assistance in the removal of Taliban, the government. But we've got to finish the job that we started in making sure that we root out the core element of the command and control of the Al-Qaeda network. And that's going to require both friends and metal. So that's what we need to do.
Okay. When people start going to the polls, early voting in November 4th, and they come to the U.S. Senate election, how do you want them to think about it?
I want them to know that they are going to vote for someone who has their back, who has consistently demonstrated throughout their career is willing to go to the mat and fight for Texas families, whether it's in a combat zone in Afghanistan or whether it's on the Gulf Coast with Ike, or whether it's on the floor of the Texas legislature, or even in private business and trying to create jobs here at home, that I'm real clear who my boss is, and it's the people of the state of Texas and not the special interest of Washington, D.C. And that's just a categorically different view than what we've had for the past 6 years.
All right. Rick Noriega, thank you very much for talking to me today.
You bet. Anytime, Charles.